Today is Sunday, February the 10th, 2019. Last Sunday, in part one of our expectations of redemption, we looked at forgiveness and the healing truths wrapped up in our redemption. To set in our hearts that God's will for our healing and deliverance is important as our forgiveness and being delivered from sin and its guilt and condemnation. Our Heavenly Father looks upon us as innocent. Jesus Christ paid the price and we were redeemed from sin and sin consciousness as well as condemnation. Jesus Christ procured our liberation through the ransom payment of his precious blood. That was a one-time reality. Then in our daily walk and fellowship with God, we can remain cleansed from all unrighteousness according to 1 John 1:9 that we read last week. Our cleansing from all unrighteousness paves our way so that we can live zealously to do the good works we were created to do. In our redemption, our Lord and Savior delivered us from evils in every kind, external, internal, mental, physical, spiritual, and any combination thereof. We looked at the verse in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee," to see that God is the eternal now, and his will is to be as our physician now. His word and will is always in the present tense. God does not reckon time as man does, past, present, future. In order to elevate our perception of godly truths, my encouragement is to train our minds to view our lives through God's eternal now perspective. This will aid us in seeing God's promises just as they truly are, totally available to us at any time, all the time. People don't seem to have a problem believing that Christ died to redeem us from our sins, but they stumble at the expectation of enjoying his redemptive work in taking upon himself our physical and spiritual afflictions. It's my desire that you understand that God purposes for us through Christ's redemption to be as free from sickness and disease and afflictions as he wills for us to be free from sin, guilt, and condemnation. When Jesus laid down his life, he paid the ransom for both. This sets the doctrine. Now today, I want to take forgiveness and healing into the practical side of life. There's a great link for us to understand between forgiveness and healing, and we should dedicate prayer, thought, study to hide these truths in our hearts. Healing of the heart precedes or at least promotes our physical well-being. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Our iniquities are forgiven. There's nothing that a beloved one cannot be forgiven for. All our diseases are healed. Now back when Psalms was written, perhaps some of these diseases we find today were unheard of at that time. But our all-knowing God knows them, every one. He knows the ones mankind has yet to discover. God knows all, and he heals us through Jesus Christ. He has given us power and authority to claim our healing. So it doesn't matter whether we have heard of the diseases or not, for with God, he withholds no good thing, and nothing is incurable. Forgiveness is the process of terminating resentment and anger, so there is no fuel for grudges and bitterness. Forgiveness is to pardon. Treat as innocent is one of the definitions, one of the words translated forgiveness is. It is the release from the liability and penalty of an offense, the result of which is peace with God. And as I said, forgiveness promotes healing in every category. A good question is, so where does it all begin? The scriptures tell us where to confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. Logically, our hearts must be very important to God. In fact, God looks upon the heart. God tells us that we should guard our hearts with all diligence because out of our hearts, our motives ultimately guide our actions in life. The reason forgiveness is so linked with healing is because It is forgiveness that brings healing to the heart of a man or a woman. If our hearts are full of unworthiness, guilt, condemnation, and sin, we are not in condition to have good expectations. What's going to happen to our prayers? Well, we may call out to God, but our expectation is that we're not good enough to receive His answer. We judge ourselves unworthy of such love and kindness. God has answered. Remember, He is the eternal now. But if you cannot see the answer coming to you, will you ever be able to own it? No, because your heart is in bad shape. I read an article written by a gastrointestinal doctor. He believes that most gastrointestinal problems stem not from what we're eating, but rather from what's eating us. What is eating us in our hearts? This is the question, and redemption and forgiveness will lead us to healing. We need to get what is eating at us off our hearts and bring in good practices, forgiveness enjoyed, into deep thoughts of the heart. Just like Matthew chapter 38, verse 22, we are to love God and our neighbors as ourselves. It's similar with forgiveness. If we do not reckon ourselves forgiven, how can we forgive others? Then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 tells us, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we do not accept God's forgiveness that is already ours, there's no way we will be forgiving of others. The forgiveness is there, but we're failing to open our hearts to His promises, and He withholds no good thing. Unforgiveness is a complicated problem with a simple solution. We end up being handcuffed to the situation, not understanding forgiveness. People remain handcuffed to problems for years, for decades. They are handcuffed to the problem simply because they would not allow their hearts to be released by simply going to God and asking for forgiveness. I was speaking to a woman, I think she was 35, and she was telling me how her parents had absolutely ruined her life. And I said, well, when did you leave home? When did you get out on your own? And she said, I left home when I was 15. I said, so your life has been in your full control for the last 20 years. So what have you done with it to change the direction of your life and to recover your life? What have you done with Christ in your life? I know there's a lot of talk about you got to square it up with somebody. And that could be beneficial, maybe. But that's not necessarily the first thing. Because what if I go to Bill, and Bill, who's angry at me about something, and I say, I'm sorry, Bill, and Bill doesn't want to forgive me. So then am I stuck? How do I get my release? It's simple. Go to God, because He's the one who tells me to love my neighbor as myself. He's the one who says I am to be kind, tenderhearted, giving, forgiving, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me. So that's why I go to Him, because really I have offended Him, and so I go to God. Forgiveness from human perspective is the conclusion of resentment and anger. It puts out the fire and scatters the coals so it burns no more at its best. It lets go of the grudges and bitterness because they will close the door by which evil spirits, the enemy, gains access to the lives of people to steal, kill, and to destroy. There's a great song by Matthew West called Forgiveness. It's the hardest thing to give away and the last thing on your mind. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Take everything you have to say, forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge says you've got a right to hold a grudge, it whispers in your ear saying, set it free. Forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me to do the impossible. Forgiveness. It clears the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There's no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through the eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. I want to finally set it free. Show me how to see what your mercy sees. Help me now to forgive what you gave to me. Forgiveness. Beautiful lyrics. Forgiveness is the oil of gladness and the balm of healing so necessary for the well-being of mankind. It is the manifestation of God's goodwill toward men and women upon the earth. It is to pardon and to treat as innocent, the results of which gives peace and promotes healing. I want to help you enjoy the peace of God. And for those of you who have been in need of healing for a long period of time, perhaps this will be the answer to unlock for you so that you can walk in his wonderful blessings and his wonderful peace and comfort with great joy and gladness in your soul. Now let's consider how these personal victories affect the one body, a group of healthy hearts fellowshipping together. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul has been ministering reproof and correction for the anguished pent-up hearts of some of the believing ones. He desired that they might remember and that they might be restored to enjoy God's bountiful blessings of peace, comfort, and healing. In their practice of being motivated by anger, the doctrine became lost, and Paul had to recover them. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly to you. Some of the Corinthian believers had gotten themselves into some very severe problems. A lot of devilish things were going on among the fellowships, and in some cases they were even proud of it, boasting about their newly found freedom in Christ. Well, that did not bring glory to God, nor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul reproved them and reset the truth because they were so immature in their spirituality. He helped recognize their error and get back to the blessings of God and the more abundant life which Jesus came to make available. So Paul wrote to them, and now he's writing again a second time to remind them. And he didn't want to do it. It's not a pleasure to reprove people and confront the brethren. But if we want them to enjoy the blessings of God, then we need to come to the Word. So he lays out these great truths before them. Verse 5. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I might not overcharge you all. The word overcharge means, lest I give you pain by too severe language. Certainly others were involved, were hurt, because there were fellowships, and those that remained faithful were not involved in these issues, were also saddened that now Paul had to reprove the church as a whole, and they are part of the church. In that example, Paul is concerned because he doesn't want to innocent ones to be pained by his severe language. Sufficient to such a man is the punishment or censure which was inflicted of many. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Here it shows us some incredible truths. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. To the end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan seeks to get advantage over all of us. Paul warned them of the disastrous results of unforgiveness and exhorted them to do that which is righteous. People say, I can't forget what he or she did to me. God doesn't ask us to forgive and forget. That's something he does. He does tell us to forgive, and he asks us and instructs us to love. He asks us to be compassionate. And if we heed his warnings of this terrific, or this warnings of this terrible effect of unforgiveness, we will exercise great compassion, Forgiveness is not an act of forgetfulness. Forgiveness is an act of compassion. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote, forgiveness is not an occasional act, it's a permanent attitude. Mm-hmm. Be compassionate enough to release someone from a collision course with defilement. Don't allow yourselves to be complicit with God's arch enemy, unwittingly or ignorantly. We are not to be ignorant. We are not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. You can look at the situation in a different light, as I have explained before. We can't change the past, but we can look at it in a different way. Mm-hmm. Be compassionate. And rehearsing platitudes like, let bygones be bygones. Well, they're not gone. Mm-hmm. Fulfill the covenant of love you have with the Father, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. It's equally united, together the same, to love your neighbor as yourself. A number of years ago, I saw a movie out named Indecent Proposal. It was about this couple, and they made the statement in the movie that struck my mind. They said, the things two people in love do to each other, they remember. And if they stay together, it's not because they forget, but because they forgive. It's a great lesson and thoughts for marriage relationship. Do we want to enjoy forgiveness? Then be forgiving in the body of Christ. This is the practical aspect of agape love in the church. Love can do for men and women what no law can do. The law can convict, but it can't convert. It can condemn, but it cannot redeem. It can punish, but it cannot heal. If you cannot find compassion in your own heart, then look into the Father's before you give up on love. Let's get the church on its feet and moving again. Hebrews chapter 12 gives us some great exhortations. Verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Get out of your depression. Get out of your sorrows. Lift yourself up. Start walking. Follow peace with all men and holiness. That is to walk according to the Spirit of God, his gift in you, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There's a great chapter on the love of God in 1 Corinthians. What do you think defilement is? If not allowing or opening ways where the adversary can get in, we are not ignorant of his devices. We understand how he seeks out, how he functions, how he attacks the church, and how he looks to get inside the church where he can direct his attacks more sharply. In many, many situations, the attack results from unforgiveness or not accepting forgiveness. Corrie ten Boom, a Belgian woman who was in a Nazi concentration camp, wrote a book and became known for this quote. She said, forgiveness is to set the prisoner free and realize the prisoner is you. God gave you the keys to the handcuffs, and you are free at any time to leave. In relationship to healing, you don't have to have to be handcuffed to those situations anymore. Maybe the person you need to forgive does not wish to be free. If that's the case, there is little you can do other than pray for them. If they choose to remain handcuffed with unforgiveness, all you can do is thank God that the keys are ever available, but you should not remain handcuffed to those situations. We need to continue to move ahead with the things of God, with our lives, and don't allow yourself to be held back because someone else decided they wanted to remain unforgiving. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. Isn't it great to know that God is so simple and so easy to get along with? How he really looks out for us, for our hearts, because we certainly don't want our hearts to be wrong. I've done things that are wrong, and I say, well, that wasn't my heart. But he wants to make sure it doesn't become my heart. A great indication of sin forgiven is sin forsaken. I desire to change my life, but I always need an opportunity from God to get out, and he provides the way to escape. In verse 17 of Luke chapter 5, it says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Heal them? Them who? Well, grammar tells us the pronoun goes back to the closest associated noun, which in this verse is the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. So the power of God was present most specifically to the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. These were the men with the ministries and had responsibilities for researching and teaching the word of God to the brethren. God's power was present to heal those Pharisees and doctors of the law through the gospel. It was with the same group of men who rejected all that Christ said and did. They watched and criticized because of their displeasure with Jesus. They truly did not understand how sick they really were, but yet the power of God was present to heal them. That's the background of this record. Verse 18, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus." The men who brought the man with palsy were absolutely determined for his deliverance. He had a palsy or a paralysis. Everything was there that was necessary for him to walk. He had legs, they had bones, they had veins, arteries, muscles, everything necessary, joints, everything necessary to walk, but they were not functioning. I think of the Pharisees and the doctors. They had the scriptures, they had Jesus Christ, they had John the Baptist, they had Jesus' disciples. Everything was there to make them strong men of God, but they didn't regard it. They had everything they needed to stand and walk on the word, but they didn't see that they were paralyzed. The power of God was present to heal, but their hearts were so calloused against Christ, they were in a state of paralysis. They could not even move spiritually for God. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch. Look at the effort they put into getting this man before Jesus. They went up on the housetop. First of all, they had to know where Jesus would be. Then they had to be determined where to go and when to go. They knew they had to get their friend there, so they took him up on the roof and let him down. What a wonderful record. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." The word faith and the word believing are the same words in the Greek. They can be translated either way, faith or believing. Many times ministers will use the term believing faith. The point is, you have great faith. If you have confessed that Jesus is your Lord and God has raised him from the dead, you have incredible faith. Jesus laid in his grave for 3 days and three nights. His heart did not give one beat in that time. His lungs did not take a breath of air. His blood had already begun to harden and coagulate. We talk about cellular death, brain activity death. Jesus wasn't thinking anything. He was dead. He was gone. He believed that God was going to raise him up, and that is why he went through what he went through. You have the same believing faith, if you think about it. When it comes to your physical healing, what can you not believe for? If you believe that his blood stopped flowing and that he got up from the dead, maybe you didn't consider all those things when you got born again, or maybe you just have not thought about it for a long time and have forgotten. You are men and women of great faith. Jesus said, "Man, thy sins be forgiven thee." Apparently, it was sin consciousness that held this palsied man back from his healing. His friends got him there, and he knew that Jesus was able to heal him. He had seen others healed. He knew Jesus had the power and the ability to heal. The question in his heart was, "Will he heal me?" And his sin consciousness is what held him captive until Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Verse 21, And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Look at where their minds went. That is why I say to you, you have to get healing of the mind before you get healing of the flesh. If you have not accepted God's healing, accept it now. It's really not even based on your repentance. It's based on his forgiveness. Then your loving response would be to repent of your ways. Your loving response to forgiveness is to change. The best indicator of sin forgiven is sin forsaken. Change your ways. Repent. If we are motivated by love, then the repentance, change, forsaking the sin will absolutely follow. You repent because you so loved, because he so loved you. He so loved you, he did not reward us according to our iniquities. He so loved us, he does not hold our sins against us. He so loved us, he forgives us our sins. He forgave us our trespasses and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We ought to then repent, to change our lives, allow the zealousness that we had for the word and for God to really show forth. Allow the beauty of his love to be manifested from within us outwardly so people can see it. But Jesus perceived their thoughts. He answered and said unto them, "What reason ye where?"
In your hearts.
Where was it coming from? They weren't protecting their hearts, assuring themselves. They did not practice these things, and their hearts became hardened. Every heart even hardened toward this man who came to Jesus for healing. Verse 23. Whether it's easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Rise up and walk," but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house." The point was the man needed to know he was forgiven. And God, the power of the Lord, was present to heal them. A great opportunity to receive deliverance themselves. The man needed to hear that his sins were forgiven. And so did the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Because they could have been forgiven right at that moment and got the healing, got delivered from their paralysis. What a beautiful record. God's will for us is to be free of sickness and disease and disorders, as free as Christ made us free from sin. But the Pharisees and the doctors of the law wanted to hang on to their hard-hearted paralysis when the power of God was present to heal. Where do you want to be? On what side do you want to stand? What do you want for your expectations? Verse 25, and immediately the man, he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with awe and respect, saying, "We have seen strange things today." We ought to see strange things every day. The word strange things means awesomely and amazing. We should see them today. It was sin consciousness that temporarily held the man back from healing, and his heart needed redemption. Those who brought him to Jesus knew Jesus could heal him, but would he? And you know, I'm sure the guy is thinking, "I'm a lousy sinner. I'm a world-class sinner." But we know our God is a world-class forgiver. For God so loved the world. Or one might say, "Oh, I'm not good enough," or "I'm not strong enough Christian." But first of all, healing is not based on our goodness or our strength, rather the goodness of God and the strength of Jesus Christ. Christianity is built on his strength, not yours. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I do want to show you something else in Psalm 78 about compassion. There in verse 38, it says, "But he," meaning God, "being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." I want to give you some insight on the words full of compassion. In the Hebrew language, they have what they call the WAH construct, W-A-H. It ties one word to another. In this particular case, the word full and the word compassion are tied together by the WAH construct. The only kind of compassion that God has is full compassion. He is full of it. And if he's full of compassion, does he have room for anything else?
No.
He is compassionate toward us, and he loves us, and he is so desirous to do for us. It is so important that we practice forgiveness for the health and well-being of mankind, as well as the health and well-being of the church, that we accept forgiveness for our health and well-being and avoid those things that would oppress us. The Pharisees and doctors of the law wanted to hang on to their resentment because of their dislike of Jesus. He was doing things they should have been doing. They could not do the works of Jesus because they were paralyzed by unforgiveness. See, it's God's will for us to be as free from sickness and disease and afflictions as he wants us to be free from sin. The Pharisees and the doctors of the law had an opportunity to be free from their spiritual paralysis. They were in the spiritual paralysis they were in if they wanted forgiveness for their sins. They hung on to the resentments of Jesus, but not the man with the physical paralysis. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We've seen strange things today." Hopefully, I've communicated the great link between forgiveness and healing. I do encourage you to take time to revolve these truths around in your head and heart. Pray in the Spirit for the Holy Spirit to cause you to understand. Do some study on your own to the end you trust God. Forgiveness is healing of the heart. Healing of the heart precedes and promotes physical healing. Next week, we'll look at forgiveness from yet another aspect. God bless you.